Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Don't miss Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Finals tonight. Steven Stamkos and the two-time defending Cup champion Lightning looking for the three-peat against Nathan MacKinnon and the Avalanche. Our coverage begins 8 Eastern on ABC and on ESPN+. Meanwhile, yesterday, Amari Stoudemire, you would know what this must feel like. Well, just watch what Boban was doing yesterday.
Come on, Boban. Give the kid a chance to make a shot, man.
I mean, look at him.
He's working his defense.
He's working on his defense.
I mean, a little bit much.
Cut off the baseline.
What do you think of this, JJ?
Boban is one of the gentlest, nicest human beings in the world. This is actually shocking. But I will say, Boban is a treasure. We must protect him at all costs.
I mean, it is amusing.
It's very amusing. The kids will go back and tell their friends they got blocked by Boban.
Yeah, there you go.
And they made it on TV. But anyway, that's Boban working on his defense. And I, for one, am here for it. With that, we welcome you to another hour of Get Up. We are live, as always, from the Seaport. We are brought to you by Chase. You see the squad we've got together. We're jam-packed. Cindy, let's do it. Hour number two begins. It's time to get up with Golden State going for the gold. Steph is closing in. Wiggins is winning. What will it take tomorrow night? And what the actual heck has happened to the Celtics superstar? Why Jason may be chasing after something he just can't find in these NBA finals. Plus, some NFL sprinkled in. Tyreek with the tweak. What he said about Tua that could change absolutely everything. All that and more as we get up with you, starting right now with the Warriors, who've come out to play. They're just one win away from their fourth championship in their last 8 years. And they have a big thanks to give to Andrew Wiggins for the huge performance in Game 5, leading the team with 26 points, 13 rebounds, 10-point win to give them the 3-2 lead. That performance much needed because Steph Curry was struggling from the floor. 0-for-9 from beyond the arc, ended a streak of 233 consecutive games in which he'd made at least 1-3. On the other side, the Celtics not getting what they need from Jason Tatum. He is struggling, particularly in the fourth quarter, shooting just 24% in the fourth for this series. So, current odds from Caesars Sportsbook. Celtics are a 4-point favorite tomorrow night. Warriors are still the favorite to win the series. Steph is the heavy favorite to win finals MVP. Yesterday, here, Jalen Rose said this.
I literally left the hotel and left my suit for Game 7. I'm coming back here. This will be a 7-game series. The Boston Celtics are not only going to respond on their home floor, they're going to win by double digits. Remember I told you that.
All right, so two thoughts. One, I'm staying in the same hotel I snuck in and stole his suit after he said that because I heard it was there, and so it seemed it was there for the taking. Number two, let's talk about what the Warriors have to do to try and make him wrong. He is certain the Celtics are going to win. What is the one way Golden State makes Jalen wrong tomorrow night?
Continue to defend the way they have defended throughout this series. We've made a big deal of Steph Curry through four games, Andrew Wiggins with a phenomenal game in Game 5, but this series has really come down to the Warriors defending at a high level, specifically their defense on Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, forcing them into tough contested twos, forcing turnovers. They have constantly brought a second defender on all their drives, and the two of them have not made great decisions, particularly out of those drives.
What have you seen from that defense, Amari? Because there's so much hype around the Celtic defense. They were number one in the league. The Warriors are number two in the league in defense, but sometimes we don't think of them that way because we think of all the threes and everything. What are they doing right defensively?
Well, they are a very versatile defensive team. You know, they have players that can guard multiple positions. So when it comes to switching, those guys are able to switch out and defend properly because, you know, you keep in mind, in today's game, it's all about being able to defend on the perimeter and also on the inside. Pick and roll defense. So with the Golden State Warriors, you have Draymond Green, you have Jordan Poole, you have Andrew Wiggins. Mm-hmm. These guys can switch, and they are primary defenders. These guys are top notch defenders, and so it makes it hard for the Boston Celtics to get off because of the defenders.
But for you, what is Golden State's one thing? What is the one key for them tomorrow night? Is it their defense?
No, for me, I think the Golden State Warriors have to take what the defense give them. right? Mm. Just play modest basketball. If the defense is giving you the shot, take it. If they're not, make the simple pass and just play your game. I think that's all they have to do is just take what the defense gives them.
Now, I want to go back very quickly to that Warriors defense because I'm always fascinated in the adjustments that get made. Game one of this series, the Celtics blitzed them in the fourth quarter, and it was all their role players. It was the Horfords and the Whites of the world knocking down threes. From that point forward, the Warriors, did they change something? Did they make an adjustment? Do we give credit to that whole coaching staff and Steve Kerr and the others who will both be head coaches in other places next year? Did they change something?
I think it was a difference of what the Celtics have done, and specifically with Tatum and Brown. You go back to that game one, Jaylen Brown had 5 assists in that fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. Tatum had 13 assists in game one. They were more willing to get off the ball and just make the simple play, shift the defense. A lot of those threes in that fourth quarter were off simple drive and kicks. 8 of the 9 threes made were off a direct pass.
So look at that defense there. The Warriors have played that, I agree with you, has been a huge factor in this series, particularly in the fourth quarter on Monday night. Let's go to the other side. We mentioned the Celtics are a favorite. Jaylen is willing to bet his suit on it. What do they have to do? What's their most important key?
I mean, look, it really just comes down to turnovers. They're 1-7 in the playoffs when they have 16 or more. They're 13-2 when they have 15 or less. Here's a crazy stat for you, all right? The Celtics through 5 games are shooting 41% from 3. Golden State shooting 35%. And in an era where you take 40 or 50 shots, that percentage difference should mean that the Boston Celtics are either already done with this series or they're winning this series through 5 games, but they haven't been able to because of the turnovers. They're kicking themselves and preventing not only their own baskets, but then Golden State's turning around on all these live ball turnovers and taking advantage and scoring at the other end.
I mean, that number is so remarkable. Let's leave it on the screen a second, Cindy. It's fascinating because it is so directly impactful. We always say that in football. Right? A team that turns it over, you know, we can't win when the turnover battle. We don't usually talk this much about turnovers in playoff basketball, but it has been so overwhelmingly the key here for the Celtics. Why, Amari? Why do they struggle so much turning the ball over?
Well, it's the defense. I mean, you got to think about it. The turnovers are caused because, one, you're not ready for the trap, right? You're not seeing where the defense is being set up. And you're being surprised by the trap, right? So that's when the turnovers happen. I think the key component for the Celtics is their defense. For them to win game six, they have to play solid defense. If you're able to guard guys one-on-one and contain players for the most part, then you have a great chance to win. But it's tough to guard the Warriors one-on-one defensively because they're so versatile. These guys can score from 3 levels of the basketball court, inside, mid-range, and the three-point shot. So if you're able to play defense and contain your guys one-on-one and give your big men a chance to rotate and help over, that'll help them for game six.
Very quickly, and we'll have much more basketball as we go. What I realized quickly after stealing Jaylen's suit is that I have no use for it because he's a foot taller than I am. Would you like it? I have it in the other room.
I think it's too short for me. I'm 6'10". Jaylen's 6'6", maybe.
But no. He's much taller.
We'll give Jaylen 6'7 and a half.
I think he's taller than that. I'm not 100% sure. One way or the other, we will have much more from these guys, including their prediction. Are they willing to bet a suit on the Celtics keeping this thing alive tomorrow night? We'll talk about it. In the meantime, there is an entirely different sort of story in the National Football League right now, where Deshaun Watson met with reporters yesterday facing more questions about the now 24 civil lawsuits that have been filed against him. Watson is accused of inappropriate sexual conduct during massage sessions. Yesterday at minicamp, he again proclaimed his innocence.
I met with the NFL a couple weeks ago, and I did everything they asked me to do. I answered every question truthfully that the NFL asked me. I spent hours with the people that they brought down, and that's all I can do is just tell them and be honest and tell them exactly what happened. And I know they have a job, so I have to respect that. And that's what we want to do is cooperate. And you know, they have to make a decision best for the league. You know, I've been honest and I've been truthful about my stance, and that's, you know, I never forced anyone, I never assaulted anyone. So that's what, you know, I've been saying it from the beginning, and I'm going to continue to do that. I just want to clear my name and be able to let the facts and the legal procedures continue to play out.
Okay, so again, that was yesterday, and Kimberly Martin has been there covering for us. She was at yesterday's press conference. She was at Deshaun Watson's introductory press conference, and Dan Graziano in our studio as well, because it's such an incredibly important and complicated story in so many different ways. So, Kmart, let's start with the basics. What are the biggest takeaways that the fans should be aware of coming out of the comments of yesterday?
Greeny, I gotta say, I'm standing out here. I just watched Team Buses pull out a few short minutes ago. The team is having a short practice today in Canton at the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and then they're doing some team building. And it just struck me. This is a Browns team that last year had a fractured locker room, and now they are so committed to team building. And Deshaun Watson, despite the 24 lawsuits that have been filed against him, is at the center of all that, and they have embraced him, they believe in him, and he's the guy that they feel good about in their QB room, in their locker room. And just coming off those comments yesterday, he reiterated that he did not assault anyone. He reiterated his innocence. He said that I regret the impact the lawsuits have had on the community here in Berea and Cleveland, but also his family and also his Browns family. And this team and this player are looking forward to turning the page to football, even though there are allegations still out there and lawsuits potentially more to be filed.
And I want to make sure that we're all understanding clearly, that would suggest that the Browns, from what you have been able to see, are standing firmly behind him, not only the organization, but even amongst his teammates. From what you've been able to observe, does that feel, is that an accurate way for me to read what you're telling me?
Oh, 100%. The New York Times article that recently came out, the information that seems new to the public, people in this building feel like we did our due diligence. We feel good. We feel comfortable with Deshaun, the person and the player. And people in the building feel eventually maybe things will come out. The truth will be known eventually. But the decision to trade for him was rooted in their due diligence. They feel confident. The players in this locker room, Deshaun said they've asked him questions and he has freely answered those questions. And he said yesterday, despite everything, the cloud around this organization, he was smiling and talked about how he wants to be the best Deshaun he can be and the best human, and he's looking forward to being himself in the community, which is something for a lot of fans is difficult to swallow, but for everybody that works here and is on this team, they're rallying around him.
It's a fascinating set of circumstances. So before we even can approach the football piece of this, there are two parts that have to be worked out. One is the Browns piece of this all, and that's what Kmart is talking about. Dan, how about the NFL's piece of this? There's obviously an investigation, and that's important.
Right. The NFL is doing an investigation to see whether Deshaun Watson violated the personal conduct policy, and if he did, what sort of discipline that would result in. Could mean a suspension. That investigation is ongoing. They've already talked to Deshaun Watson, as he mentioned there. They've talked to some of the women that have filed lawsuits, but not all. At some point, the league's investigative team will make a referral to the jointly appointed disciplinary officer between the league and the NFLPA. If they decide it's worthy of discipline, they'll send it to her, and she will decide whether that's appropriate or not. So the process is a long one. And it's a slow one, I think, by design, because I don't think the league wants to be in a position where they do something and then more comes out. These lawsuits go to court and more information comes out and they find out they didn't do enough. Mm. So I think they're being very deliberate for that reason. And that's why I think that while everyone would like to have this wrapped up by training camp or week one, I do think there's a scenario where he's on the field week one, and this is still unresolved.
And it's worth, because I can already anticipate people saying there have been no criminal charges filed, at least to this point, and it's been investigated in that regard, and there have been no charges filed as a result. But historically, that hasn't always meant the league does not act in some way.
What happened criminally, the two grand juries declined to indict him on criminal charges, so he faces the civil suits. But yes, you're right. The NFL does not require a pending criminal charge in order to enact its personal conduct policy. So he could still face a suspension under that.
All right. Kimberly Martin will be there all day long with all of the coverage as this continues to develop. Kmart, thank you. We will see you when you get back here. In the meantime, we will go back to football as we continue, this time on the field in an entirely different way. Lamar Jackson on the field in Baltimore, despite not having a contract. There is so much to dive into as to what lays in store for him. We'll get there. And more people are betting on the Bills to win the Super Bowl than any other team. That's not a surprise. Wait until you hear who's next. That will shock you. Get up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
All right, we're back. You're going to be amazed by this morning's wake-up call. U.S. men's national team taking on El Salvador. A tying goal from Jordan Morris. Listen to this call from Ramses Sandoval.
Pero la tacada de Mario González es monumental. Otro más. Goal.
Did you actually time that?
No, I was looking. I think it was about 22 seconds of the clock on the camera there.
So. How long, Ninko? Could good. You hold a note that long? I mean, I think you should be an opera singer.
No. I start laughing because in my head I'm thinking, is he going to breathe? Like, I.
Yeah.
That's insane. That's. That's impressive. That's really
must
impressive.
Must be some kind of special exercises or something.
That is phenomenal. Like, you know that game you play where you go
like
underwater,
it.
See how long you can hold your breath? He must win that all the time. Okay, back to football. Questions
remain yesterday.
About his contract. But Lamar Jackson is back on the field yesterday. He skipped all 3 weeks of voluntary workouts for the first time ever. But he did report for mandatory minicamp, and his coaches and his teammates are happy to see him.
He's physically in very good shape. I thought his arm looked really good. You can see he's been throwing a lot, and you can see he's in great condition, physical condition. So it's great to have him out there. He kind of boosted everybody's spirits a little bit too, and it was good to see, and he threw some great balls, so it was fun.
So look, we've spent a lot of time talking about his contractual situation, and the only honest answer is we have no idea if he will get a deal done, an extension done, between now and the beginning of the season, right? That remains to be seen. So the important question then, I think, Ninko, is he set up to have a huge year? We know that he is, on at least some level, choosing to play this season without an extension if indeed he doesn't get one, which means he's betting on himself having a huge year. Is he set up for that in Baltimore this season, the way they are situated?
Yes, I think he is. I think anytime he sets foot on the field, he has the opportunity to make explosive, unbelievable plays. We've seen that year in and year out. So I really think you look at their team, number one, they got to stay healthy. Last year, they were just decimated by injuries. Their cornerback position, their defense, they just took a ton of big-name players off of their roster, and they were able to manage a good season. I mean, look, if you look at where they were last year when they had those injuries, I think a lot of people were like, all right, well, that's it. And they were still able to put together a good season because of Lamar. So I think that they're really set up for a good season. You got Lamar. If he's focused on getting the highest-paid contract, the biggest contract in history, he's motivated. He's ready to go. And, you know, they bring back the fullback. They have a great fullback. They got the offensive line. They got the receivers. They got the tight end position. Defensively, they're healthy now. I really think that with all those things together, if they can stay healthy and stay – because sometimes you're just unlucky in the NFL. I think last year they were kind of unlucky. This year, hopefully, they stay healthy and they'll put together a great season.
Well, for sure. And look, we live in such a our attention spans are so short, right? Like those numbers, and Hembo, if you can pop those back up there possibly, like that jumped off the screen at me. Because in one season, the whole league became about Josh Allen and Justin Herbert and a bunch of other young quarterbacks, and it's almost like Lamar Jackson was somewhat forgotten in all that. Look at those numbers. When he plays, they win, and their offense is unstoppable. It's as simple as that, Danny.
That's why he has an MVP award, and those other guys you're listing do not. I mean,
right.
he is that central to what they do. But Nico's absolutely correct. I mean, you can continue to list the positions where they were decimated by injury last year. All their running backs, literally all of their running backs got hurt. They didn't have the left tackle. Like, I mean, they are definitely in a better position this year, assuming they can keep even some guys healthy, especially if they can keep them all healthy. So Lamar is betting on, you know, Orlovsky said the last hour, you know, everybody talks about what if he gets hurt, you know? And but his mindset is, well, what if I don't? What if I play great? And now we're in an even better position to negotiate a contract.
We'll find out. And again, maybe they get an extension worked out this summer. We'll have to wait and see. And meanwhile, on Planet Earth today is brought to you by our friends at Whole Foods Market. And it brings up an interesting trend. It's been popular at off-season sports books this year, people betting thousands of dollars on the Jets to win the Super Bowl. As of this week, the Jets are the largest Super Bowl liability at FanDuel, Caesars, and the Borgata in Atlantic City. More bets have been placed on the Jets to win the Super Bowl than any team besides the Buffalo Bills, who are the favorites. In fact, just hours after Caesars opened their odds for next year, someone bet $5,000 on the Jets to win at 200-1. So that would make it a $1 million payday. Right now, they're still at 125-1. So first and foremost, no truth to the rumor that that was me.
That was my first
bet. That was not my bet. So what do we think of that? Would you, Rob Ninkovich, be willing to throw down a few of those hard-earned dollars you earned all those years playing for Bill Belichick on the Jets to win the Super Bowl?
No. And, Greeny, listen, not at all. And Greeny, I know you. I mean, Greeny, you got some coin now. So why are you putting $5,000 down for the Jets? I mean, come on, for $1 million return. I get it. It's a big return, but guess what? That $5,000 is gone. It's gone. The Jets are not winning the Super Bowl. Whoever placed that bet, they must have a ton of money because they don't care about burning it.
Here's what I will say. David Purden called me up about this story when he was writing a story about it. And I said, look, do I expect the Jets to win the Super Bowl? No, obviously I do not. But a year ago today, if I had said to you, Graziano, the Cincinnati Bengals are going to be 3 points away from winning the Super Bowl, that wouldn't have been any less likely, right?
No. I mean, look, we don't know who the good teams are going to be, right? Like, it would be surprising because it's been so rare that the Jets are one of them. But, yeah, if you have $5,000 you're not doing anything else with, and you can win $1 million with it, sure, I guess. I mean, I wish I was in that position.
Yes. Nico, come on. A great offseason, the best draft of any team in the league, another year under the belt for the quarterback and for the coach. No?
No. It's not happening.
Hope is a wonderful thing.
No, it's not. It's not. They're not even going to beat the Bills. They're not going to win the division. No, it's not. It's not happening.
Stranger things have happened. None that jump immediately to mind, but stranger things have happened. All right, we'll continue in just a moment here. Coming up, the Celtics struggling superstar. What is wrong with Jason Tatum? What has to change for Boston to save its season tomorrow night? We'll have the answers. Plus, could Tyreek Hill's constant praise of Tua actually have the opposite effect in Miami? We're talking about them and him as we continue. And right now it is time for Sneaky Hembo versus Graziano. As we bring up the Dolphins, here we go. Who is the most recent Dolphin to catch 10 touchdowns in a season? That's the question. The answer is next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5-H-E travel at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use the code 5-H-E travel to save 20%.
We are back on Get Up. Game 6 of the NBA Finals tomorrow night. J.J. Redick is here to fill in some blanks. All right, J.J., in Game 6, Jason Tatum will what?
He will go for 26 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists. And I'm going to go with the low turnover night because I'm hopeful. 2 turnovers.
He needs
and maybe tomorrow night will be the night where he finally shoots efficiently from 2.
That's the big question, particularly in the fourth quarter for Tatum, who had a first-team All-NBA season but has struggled in big moments in this series. Next, Steph Curry will make how many threes in Game 6?
I'm going to go with 5. That seems like a safe guess. You know what I mean? And I do expect him to bounce back and knock down some shots. Like I said earlier in the show, he's going to find a way to shoot 10 to 15 threes. If he gets that amount off, he's going to make 5.
Coming off the uncharacteristic offer, finally, in Game 6, the Warriors will what?
The Warriors are an experienced group. They will land the first punch, to use a boxing analogy. The question is, will Boston respond?
All right, stay right where you are. We will have much more of that. We'll get Amari in here a little bit later as well, and we will continue to look ahead to Game 6. Meanwhile, it is Overreaction Wednesday with Dan Graziano. So let's do that here, Dan. And so I'll make a statement, and you tell me if it is indeed an overreaction. If I were to say Lamar Jackson will win his second MVP and lead the Ravens to a division title, would that be an overreaction?
Not an overreaction. Look, we just talked about how important Lamar is to this team. If he's healthy, if everybody else, if they can keep the team relatively healthy, as they could not last year, they're going to be in the mix, and the way he plays and how important he is to them will definitely make him an MVP candidate as long as they are.
All right, and let's talk about a quarterback who was drafted in that same class, number one, in fact. If I were to say Baker Mayfield is going to start for somebody week one, would that be an overreaction?
I say yes. I think that's an overreaction. There's still some trade talks going on. The Browns would like to move him, but at this point, it's hard to see him going somewhere and stepping in as the starter week one. The first time he'd be on the field for that new team is training camp. And no, in answer to some people's questions, I do not believe he is in any way their fallback plan if Deshaun Watson were to get suspended.
All right, and then one more. If I were to say Tyreek Hill will have a better year with Tua than he had last year with Mahomes, would that be an overreaction?
Yeah. I mean, it's Mahomes. Like, it's not even an insult to Tua to say that that's an overreaction. I mean, I know Tyreek is excited, and he's talking up his new guy, and he may have a big year with him, but no, Mahomes is a quarterback's best, wide receiver's best friend. No,
I get that part of it. And the reason that we bring this up is because Tyreek Hill now has a podcast. It's called It Needed to Be Said. And he was asked by the host which quarterback has the stronger arm, his former quarterback or his current quarterback. And here's what he said.
Tua or Patrick Mahomes, obviously, like, I'm going to go with 1-5 as the strongest arm. But as far as accuracy-wise, I'm going with Tua all day.
So he just said, as far as accuracy is concerned, he's going to go with Tua all day. How do we react to that?
No. Listen, Tua right now. Okay, I get the whole like, yeah, he's accurate. He's accurate. There's still so many question marks right now. There. I know everyone's pushing they got the weapons and they got the new head coach. I think we haven't seen enough. There isn't a sample size large enough to say, okay, we know that he's very accurate. So until we can maybe get a bigger full season, 17 games, let's see Tua stay out there this full season. He's got the weapons now. He's going to have a new offensive-minded head coach. Can he be consistent? Because I think the biggest thing that we don't know is it consistent enough to where they are a new team now. Like, this franchise is going to make the leap, and they're going to be, you know, on the upswing. They're going to be able to beat the Buffaloes and the big-time teams in the AFC. So can he do it? Maybe. I don't know. But I don't think anyone can say clearly, like, he is an accurate quarterback, and he can push the ball down the field and hit Tyreek that runs a 4-2 flat 40. We don't know yet. So we'll see. And they could do all the highlights or the mess-up highlights where he underthrows a guy in OTAs. And they could do the damage control and have them throw a perfect pass. But when everything's real and the guys are coming after him and the rush is live, I don't know yet. I really don't know. I can't give you a clear answer on if he's that accurate or not.
Right. And no one can. And look, there's a million different ways that one could defend Tua. We could point out all the ways that the situation he's been in since he got drafted has been practically impossible to have great success, starting with all the injuries that he had, going through the coaching turmoil, and a number of other issues. It is also worth reminding everyone, because this feels like a long time ago, Tua was an infinitely bigger prospect than Patrick Mahomes was.
Oh,
Patrick
yeah.
Mahomes was not the guy everyone was talking about for years in college. Some people were surprised when Kansas City traded up to take him. Tua was a guy people were talking about tanking for when he was a freshman. That feels like a long time ago, but it is reality. And it's not that long ago.
No, I mean, look, he was Alabama. Mahomes is Texas Tech. I mean, we watched Tua play in national championship games and playoff games, on Saturday night, primetime games, obviously. And he was the fifth pick in the draft. He was picked one pick ahead of Justin Herbert. So there's a lot of pressure on him to perform and to show. I mean, this is the year. This is it. After this year, the Dolphins are going to make a decision on whether he's their quarterback in 2023 and beyond. And the way he performs this year will have everything to do with that.
That's right. So I have no problem with Tyreek Hill trying to build him up and make him feel good about himself. And with that thought in mind, can we take a full shot of Ninko for a minute? Speaking of building yourself up and feeling good about yourself, Is that an action figure of you that I see on that shelf behind you there? Two of them?
These are really cool. These are really cool action figures. A buddy of mine actually makes them, so sends it out to me. And you know, once you get an action figure, I mean, come on, Graziano, you'd love an action figure yourself.
I want to know.
You
know, can he make one of us? Can we see that?
Of course. Does he make them of other people, or is it just of you?
No, he can make them of other people. And this, listen, I was making up the little studio, and I was taking things out of the box. And, you know, my wife did say, this looks a little like egomaniac-ish. No. So I'm going to change some things up. I want to put a picture of Greeny up here, just him just looking good on TV.
If I had an action figure of myself, it would be on my bookshelf behind my whole TV setup. There is no question about that.
All right, that's fair enough. In the meantime, you should have an action figure of you because your performance in the trivia here is always so extraordinary.
I think I got this.
Let's get to that because this is the thing that you are best at. Sneaky Hembo for Graziano, and here we go. We just talked about the Dolphins. We'll see how many touchdowns Tyreek Hill catches this year. Who is the most recent Dolphin to catch 10 touchdowns in a season?
Hembo, I think, is in trouble here because I saw this. When they made the Tyreek Hill trade, I saw this note somewhere. It's somebody weird, right? It's not Jarvis Landry or somebody you might think of. It's a player that I don't think most people would remember played for the Dolphins. It was a free agent signing they made from Pittsburgh. Mike Wallace, I believe, is the answer to this question.
That is
Mike
absolutely
Wallace. There you
right.
Go.
Mike Wallace is right.
That's just remembering. That's not even that's just a coincidence. I saw that note.
That is. But there are more people who I think would likely have guessed safer than Mike Wallace or some other person from 60 Minutes. And Bradley.
Yeah, but there
I can't believe.
Incredible at his age. That
when I turned the page. Because they give me the answer. When I turned the page and saw it was Mike Wallace, my first thought was, you have no chance of getting this right.
Because you wouldn't remember he even played for the Dolphins. But again, saw that note when they made the Tyreek Hill trade, and I have a good memory, and that's why I got I just want to know, based on earlier this week, are we sure this is accurate?
Oh, what did I miss? Did we have a problem?
There was an issue. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, we need to look into that and get Ninko's friend on. We need to get an action figure of Graziano at some point. So get Ninko's friend working on that. In the meantime, as we continue, what the actual heck has happened to the Celtics star? Why Jason may be chasing after something he just can't find? It's Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
50-50, honoring 50 years of Title IX and the women moving the world forward.
Greatest women's team to ever be assembled.
The block by Alisa Leslie.
They've been called the women's dream team.
It was almost like overnight, the whole country had discovered women's basketball.
This is the part people never see.
I didn't do it for myself, but I did it to change the minds of other people.
We were servants for what the game has become today. So we've given them an opportunity to dream.
As we celebrate 50 years since Title IX was passed, our next 30 for 30 is titled Dream On. It's the story of the 96 USA Women's Basketball Dream Team that changed the landscape of women's athletics forever. It premieres tonight, 8 Eastern, on ESPN and will be available on ESPN Plus immediately following the premiere. Right, on we go. Meanwhile, on planet Earth, brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Hey, Amari Stoudemire, take a look at this. LeBron James seems to be very excited by Lord Stanley's Cup. What do you think?
Okay, good. I think he wants another trophy himself, man. He's looking at the Stanley Cup like, I need one of these.
You know, they brought that into the studio at ESPN a couple of different times, and you get to go over and take pictures with it and stuff like that. The hockey players who have never won it will not touch it, like the way LeBron is touching it. If you ever meet a hockey player, like if there was a hockey player in the room right now who had never won the Cup, they wouldn't even touch it. That's their...
Hockey players, along with probably baseball players, are probably the most superstitious
for
of
sure.
all athletes.
Yeah. But Amari, because now you're sort of getting used to being a part of the group. You understand where these things... You know how my producers work.
Right.
So that the very next question on this piece of paper was, is that the closest LeBron is ever going to get to another championship trophy? So you saw it coming. What's the answer?
No, I think LeBron can and probably will win another championship if the Lakers can figure out how to build a team around him.
Well, that's a big if, isn't it, Amari?
Because it is.
They if they can, no one is suggesting he's the problem. But, JJ, there's a lot of work, right, in building a championship team around LeBron James in L.A. right now when you consider how deep, how good, and how young the Western Conference is.
Well, if you look at the best teams, not only in the West, but best teams across the NBA, you have a full roster of guys that are able to star in their roles. And outside of the big three, the Lakers didn't have that last year. They have a lot of question marks going into next season about their roster and how they fill that out, given that they don't have cap space.
Is there any reasonable reason to think that, if healthy, they're the best team in their own building? Right? I mean, the Clippers should, if they get Kawhi Leonard back next year, it shouldn't even be comparable how much better they should be, right?
It's going to be tough. I mean, if Anthony Davis comes back healthy and strong and fit, then that gives the Lakers a chance to really compete with the Clippers in L.A. Yeah, for sure.
We'll see. Here we are imagining a world where both Anthony Davis and Kawhi Leonard stay healthy all year long. How much fun is that? Okay, let's then move on from the aging superstars to this ascending one who's got some business to take care of tomorrow night. That's Jason Tatum. And look, he has struggled in these finals, shooting just 37% from the floor with a series-high 18 turnovers. And those issues have become especially pronounced at the worst possible time, meaning in the fourth quarters. Tatum was a combined 2-for-10 from the floor in the last two fourth quarters and is shooting 24% in the final frame for the entire series. That's on pace to be the worst fourth quarter field goal percentage in the finals in nearly 20 years. And look, this brings back an issue they've been having all year long. We've talked about it. They were 29th in the league in late close games all season long, and they struggled with it in the playoffs leading into these finals. So I know you put together some tape specifically with Tatum. Why the struggles?
Well, a lot of this is because when he drives into a crowd, he's always picking up his dribble and playing off of one foot. Again, that's an easy jump stop, survey the floor, make a smart pass to Marcus Smart. This one right here is particularly egregious. Andrew Wiggins is in a perfect health position. Just swing the ball to Marcus Smart. Instead, he gets off one foot. It's called an offensive foul. That's a great job there by Wiggins, but just make the simple play. And again, he's getting by his primary defender, leaving his feet off of one foot. Kevon Looney comes over, great help defense. This eventually leads to a turnover because of that bad pass to Grant Williams. Gary Payton goes down and gets fouled and makes the free throws.
Yeah, and I will continue to point out, as you do a great job with that tape, that on those plays, I'm seeing it. Because as I was watching the game in the arena the other night, Jalen Rose kept saying to me, look, his head is down. His head is down when he's driving in those situations. And look, he's not a point guard. He's a guy who was, it's not his role generally to set up other people. He is driving usually to try and find a way to score. And so maybe the fact that his head, that's something that he can work on into the future. Probably won't change between now and tomorrow night. But that feels like it's part of the equation here.
It certainly is. And even if his head is down, he is 6'9", 6'10", big shoulders, long wingspan. He should be using his size off of 2 feet to just shoot right over.
Yeah.
All of your strength, your base, your foundation, it comes off of 2 feet. The second you leave and jump off 1 foot, you've lost all of your strength and all of your ability to survey the floor.
Go ahead, Amari. What do you think?
Absolutely. And Jay's spot on with that. You have to be fundamentally sound because you can't make a pass off of 1 foot, right? You have to. Now, let's keep this in mind, too. I want to make this point. Jason Tatum is only 24 years old.
Right.
Right. He's a young player. He's still developing. This is a new experience for him. So to be in this position right now in the NBA Finals and having all of us critiquing his game is somewhat unfair to him because he's so young. But we want him to be a great player, right? We want him to succeed immediately. But keep in mind, these little mistakes that Jay's pointing out are just the lack of experience in being young right now in this position.
Well, look, to whom much is given, you know, of whom much is expected. I always get the expression wrong, but you know what I'm trying to say, which is that it's his job now to be the best player on his team and win a championship. I know it's a lot to ask, but that's what everyone seems to think he's capable of. Absolutely. If he's watching right now, and he probably is, they're back in Boston, he's up early, he's watching Get Up, as he always does, I'm sure. What would you advise him? What would you say to him going into Game 6 with these struggles that he's had?
I would say make the simple play, right? You, like Jay was pointing out, if you're dribbling with your head down, you can't see where the defense is coming from. But if you see the defense there and there's a help guy in your way, just make the simple play. And the more you make those simple plays in the fourth quarter, the game will not open up to where they can't help as much, and now you have room to attack.
I'm a huge fan of their coach, Ime Udoka, who I think has done an unbelievable
job
in his first year as head coach this year. What, if anything, can he do to help? What can they do schematically or strategically or otherwise to try and get Tatum into a better position?
You can't change who a player is. And Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are primarily ISO players, but there are ways to get them off on the move and off the ball a little bit, starting with momentum. Again, we highlighted in the first hour that backside action that they ran in Game 5 that got Tatum a three. Al Horford getting the ball. Marcus Smart pinning down for Jason Tatum, coming out of the corner with momentum, getting it back from Al Horford. Yeah. Like, those are the type of plays where now the defense is shifting as he's getting the ball versus him dribbling at the top of the key, boxes and elbows, bringing that second help defender over early. That's what it's got to be.
Look, I'll just say this. I have been at the last 12 games that the Celtics have played because we had the Eastern Conference in this. And it is my observation. It doesn't take a genius to figure this out. They're at their best when everyone is going.
Yeah.
When they just say, here, Jaylen or Jason, you take it, that's when they get themselves into all this trouble. But in that first game of this series in particular, and some of the others, when they have Horford going in the fourth, whether it's Pritchard or Derek White or someone else, when they have other Marcus Smart knocking down shots, they're at their best. This is not meant to diminish their stars. They're at their best when other guys are getting opportunities.
But some of this has to do with Golden State's personnel. We talked so much earlier in the series and before the series about Boston switching.
Yeah.
Golden State has done a fantastic job of switching, and some of that is the reason Al Horford just has not had space to get off those easy jump shots.
Quick final thought on that.
He's 100% correct. It's because when you're able to switch defensively, that allows your guys to really be able to hone in on their players and lock into personnel, which makes it difficult for the opposing team.
Okay, fair enough. Now, from our notes of yesterday, J.J. Redick is going to debut a segment called Give Him His Flowers. He says there's one player that we are not giving enough love to in this series, and you can see who he is. J.J., go.
No, we absolutely killed Klay Thompson after games 1 and 2, and this has been a theme throughout the playoffs. He struggled in every series in games 1 and 2, and then he bounces back after that. Since game 2, he's averaging 21 points a game. He's shooting over 41% from 3. He's a big reason why the Golden State Warriors are in a position to close out and win an NBA championship tomorrow night.
And his defense. I mean, you were just talking about all that switching they're doing on the defensive end. Can't overlook that. He has been really good on that side, but there are the numbers that you were talking about. Those shots have started to go a little bit, and as he was saying, he's not a guy that he doesn't create his own three. He's a guy who he gets it off the pass and knocks it down when he's in rhythm and all the rest of that. So there's really only one piece of business left to figure out for today. How's this going to go? Game 6 tomorrow night in Boston. Celtics win, then we go back to San Francisco for Game 7. If the Warriors win, it's their fourth championship in an 8-year span, and we start talking about dynasty. What happens tomorrow night?
I'm just going to stay consistent with my pick, and I'm just going to pick the Boston Celtics to win tomorrow night. But do I really believe it? Is my heart in it? No, it's not. It's not.
You're consistent, meaning you picked someone
I picked
in 7.
I'm not going to pick the Celtics in seven?
Yeah,
I picked the Celtics. Well,
to win.
I thought they would win in 5, to be honest with you. But I want to stay consistent. I'm not going to change my pick for the series midway through. I got to stick with the Celtics here. But I do think the Warriors are in a great position to win that fourth championship.
How about you, big fella?
Yeah, I got Boston winning game 6, and I feel like they will make the right adjustments offensively to make the right plays down the stretch, but I do think it's going to be tough for them to beat Golden State back-to-back.
Mm. The one thing that they've done, and again, I've been with them now for the last month, They've won big games on the road. I know this one tomorrow's at home, but if they're going to win the championship, it's going to involve winning a Game 7. It's why I thought they would win Game 5. They went to Milwaukee with their season on the line in Game 6 and won. They went to Miami with their season on the line in Game 7 and won. The big moment has generally not been too big for them in these playoffs. So we're going back to the beginning of the playoffs.
No, it hasn't been at all, and that's a credit to their resiliency. That's a credit to Ime Udoka. These guys, when their backs are against the wall, have continuously responded throughout these playoffs. And again, I wouldn't be surprised if they end up winning two in a row against these Golden State Warriors because they've done it before against great teams.
I think they're going to win tomorrow night. And if you've been watching our pregame shows, you know I've picked them all 12 games. So I will remain consistent tomorrow night. And we will see you for that. Game 6 of these finals tomorrow night, 9 Eastern on ABC. It's also on ESPN Deportes and ESPN Radio. Warriors trying to lock it up. We will have NBA Countdown for you, 8:30 Eastern from the arena on ABC, getting you set for what will be a phenomenal night, regardless of which way it goes. Meantime, let me run you through some baseball here, running the bases in St. Louis. Oh, Cardinals pitcher Miles Michaelis was oh so close. One strike away from a no-hitter, but then that happened. Cal Mitchell with a double with two outs in the ninth to break it up. Cardinals would win it by a score of 9-1. In Washington, meanwhile, the Braves hit five home runs. They won their 13th straight, beating the Nats 10-5. Atlanta's now hit 10 homers over their last two games, 32 home runs during what is now the longest winning streak in baseball this season. And in New York, baseball's best team just keeps on winning. Gerrit Cole striking out seven over six shutout innings, and the bullpen did the rest. Yankees won their fifth straight overall, beating the Rays 2-0. The Yanks have now won 12 straight at home, and their 10 shutouts tied for the league lead. They currently lead the majors in both home runs and ERA. Their current pace would have them finishing the regular season with 119 victories. So the Yankees have been great. Meanwhile, First Take is on the way, and that'll be great. Who needs to help Steph the most in a Game 6? Is Steph a top 10 player of all time if he seals the deal tomorrow night? They'll answer those questions and more. It's Molly. It's Stephen A. It's the Mad Dog Chris Russo. Top of the hour right here on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Big night tonight. Game 1 Stanley Cup Finals. Two-time defending champion Lightning looking for the three-peat against the Avs. Coverage begins 8 Eastern on ABC and on ESPN+. All right, so Amari, let's just finish with a smile on our faces. Once again, This is Boban at a camp yesterday.
Boban, move your feet, man. You block every shot. Defend the paint. Take care of your territory, Boban. I see you.
Is that? I see a lot of these videos. That's sort of the accepted way that you do this, right? You just block all the kids' shots?
Yeah, you got to give a kid a chance to score at least one, but Boban's like, I'm not having it. I'm getting ready for next season.
Good fun. I love Boban. We'll see you tomorrow. First Take starts now.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.